In Sickness and in Stealth, Toronto Star, 6th of January, 2018, Moira Welsh, staff reporter. Kim Kevin Hunt was hospitalized for months with a horrific brain injury. When he was released, his ex-girlfriend spirited him away to a motel, married him in secret, and gained access to his wealth. Now a judge has voided the union, offering hope to victims of predatory marriage. Before his catastrophic head injury from an ATV accident, Kim Kevin Hunt was a Muskoka landscaper and horse aficionado with boundless energy for hiking and fishing. In October 2011, 3 days after leaving hospital with what doctors described as a wasted, shrunken brain, the 50-year-old was spirited away by a former girlfriend for a secret wedding, giving her legal rights to his future wealth, such as his growing landscape business and home value, as well as access to his expected $1 million personal injury settlement. Kathleen Ann Warad, also known as Kathalina, could not be reached for comment. Hunt never lived with Warad after the marriage. Police found him near Blue Mountain in Collingwood, at a motel where the wedding had taken place only hours earlier. Hunt was immediately reunited with his two sons, living with them at his house in Novar, 10 minutes north of Huntsville. Now, 6 years later, Ontario Superior Court Justice Edward J. Koch has declared the marriage void, a decision lawyers say will give fragile or elderly people increased protections from predatory marriage. This case is an example of predatory marriage where a vulnerable person is taken advantage of by an opportunist, says Andrea McEwen of Toronto's Whaley Estate Litigation Partners, who was hired by Hunt's family. Older people are often targeted, which makes this type of marriage an increasing problem in our society because of our aging population. In his written decision filed last month, Koch rejected in its entirety testimony from Hunt's former girlfriend, Warad, and her relatives. Warad had testified that Hunt was a healthy and willing groom, although her uncle had to be dispatched to bring him to the wedding. Before the accident, Hunt had an on-again, off-again relationship with Warad. As laid out in the judgment, they met online in mid-2009, and Hunt later acted as a surety for her impaired driving charges, although police reports noted that she violated the conditions on her court order by continuing to drink. Hunt and Warad bought the Novar house together in April of 2010, but their relationship quickly deteriorated. Within 8 months, in December 2010, they signed a property settlement agreement and Hunt paid Warad for her share of the house, becoming the sole owner. Warad put her belongings in storage, but stayed in the house, with Hunt as her surety, until June 4, 2011, when she was arrested for breach of bail conditions related to drinking. Police reports said she had been living in a guest room, and after the arrest, she lived with her daughters in Barrie, according to her bail conditions. The judge accepted that Hunt had bought her out of the house and officially ended the relationship before his June 18, 2011 accident. In my view, Koch wrote, the evidence overwhelmingly supports a finding that Mr. Hunt had not only made up his mind not to marry Ms. Warad prior to the accident, but also that he did not have the requisite mental capacity to marry Ms. Warad following the accident. Hunt's accident was brutal. He was turning a corner on an ATV, hit a ditch, and flew through the air, smashing his head into a tree, his son Justin said. Hunt was airlifted to a Sudbury hospital and placed on life support. Immediately after the accident, Hunt's sons, Justin and Brad, rushed to the hospital, a 3-hour drive, while Warad and her daughter drove to Hunt's house when she knew Brad and Justin would not be present, the judgment said. When Hunt's sons returned, Warad refused to allow them entry and declared that the house belonged to her. It took police involvement to remove her, Koch noted. After the crash, Hunt spent 18 days in a coma. He slowly emerged and 4 months later was released into the care of his sons, with the expectation of a $1 million personal injury settlement. His mobility and balance were so bad that Brad slept in his father's bed to stop him from falling. At the time of the wedding, 3 days after leaving the hospital, Hunt's vulnerability was undisputed. 7 medical experts, plus hospital staff reports, all described him as intellectually devastated with serious physical issues, according to the decision. One psychiatrist said, "Much or most of Mr. Hunt's brain has lost tissue and shrank." The doctor also said Hunt was increasingly malleable and easily influenced using cueing and emotional stimulation, including sexual relations. On October 24th, 2011, the day of the wedding, Hunt's panicked sons couldn't find their father, but tracked him to the motel through charges to his credit card, the judgment said. The boys called police, who found him, but Hunt was already married. The ceremony had taken place just hours before at the motel. At the time of the wedding, a clinical psychologist testified Hunt was extremely vulnerable, especially to re-injuring the brain and putting himself in unsafe positions. The agreement of the medical experts made it clear that Hunt did not have the capacity to marry. In his decision, Koch issued an order prohibiting contact between Warad and Hunt. He cited constant telephone calls from Warad to Hunt, including a 2015 call that Justin recorded. The judgment described the call, saying Warad repeatedly attempted to convince Mr. Hunt that his sons were simply motivated by self-interest and were trying to take away his business and his house. If they were her kids, she said, she would have hogtied them and kicked their ass all the way down the effing street by now. The decision to void the marriage is notable because Ontario's Marriage Act allows almost anyone who is not under the influence of intoxicating liquor or drugs or any other reason to marry. The rules are loose, leaving little to stop vulnerable people, often the elderly with dementia, from being pressured to marry. McEwen, the Hunt family lawyer, says the decision to void the marriage shows that courts are recognizing the rights of a vulnerable person. Her law firm, founded by lawyer Kimberly Whaler, has long pushed for updates to estate and capacity to marry laws. In his decision, Koch relied on a recent BC judgment, another predatory marriage case, that concluded an individual must be able to control their personal care and property to have the capacity to marry. Previous case law only required an individual to have control over their personal care. "I think it certainly moves the law forward," McEwen says. "It gives hope to lawyers and families alike that these marriages can be found to be void, which I think is excellent." Hunt's case is unusual because most predatory brides and grooms target elderly people who are lonely or fragile because marriage immediately revokes an existing legal will. After death, the new bride or groom gets the first $200,000 and must split the rest with surviving children, although some burn through the money. Ontario's protections are lagging behind provinces such as Alberta and British Columbia, which updated estate laws so that marriage doesn't immediately revoke a will. Quebec doesn't revoke wills, nor do most American states. It's a caution for families, particularly when an estimated $1 trillion in inheritance is expected to be passed through generations over the next 20 years. Graham Webb, a lawyer with the Advocacy Center for the Elderly, says today's aging society is sitting on huge wealth, mostly from real estate, so there's a lot of incentive for people to prey on cognitively impaired older adults. Hunt is 56 and lives with his son Justin, 31, in the same home in the town of Novar. Brad, 27, lives nearby with his wife and baby daughter. The brothers run Hunt's company, Camel Lake Bobcat and Landscaping, while the insurance money pays for Hunt's care, from physiotherapists to personal support workers. The Hunt brothers managed to keep their father's 5 horses, including 2 thoroughbreds, former racehorses from Toronto. "One of Hunt's favorite therapies is horseback riding," says Justin. While Hunt testified in court, he doesn't fully understand the outcome of the case, but his sons do. It's a relief, Justin says. Nothing was worse than worrying about something for over 6 years, every day and night. It's been nice not to have to worry about Dad losing his house or not having a decent life. There's a lot of incentive for people to prey on cognitively impaired older adults, said Graham Webb, lawyer with the Advocacy Center for the Elderly.